started this evening, do remember one another in prayer tonight. Remember Sister Joanne's friend Maxine Wells, to lift her up. And also, nope, you're welcome, sis. But do remember that, Sister Donna Faye, with her chemo treatments and skin. I did forget, Netta did read me, Sister Barbara had texted us that Sister Donna Faye, lower lung had shrank, which is awesome, and others are stable for cancer spots, so... we do praise the Lord for that. Continue to remember Lonnie London in your prayers. And to lift him up. Bill McAfee in your prayers as well. Any others this evening? Brother Don said that Sister Mary wasn't feeling well. Remember her. Do you remember that? My doctor said nothing significant to worry about, so we're not worried about it. So on mine. Was it, sis?
I was just saying that no news is good news, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. That's true. Remember Brother George Lynn. Anybody else? All right. If not, stand with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll get right into your song service. Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for love, mercy, and grace. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be in your house and for each one who's here. Asking you, Lord, tonight to have your way within our hearts and homes, dear Lord. Father, give us the strength and the guidance that we need. Father, I pray that you just protect us, Lord, as we go through the days and hours that are lying ahead of us, Lord. And Father, however long they may be, Lord, that we would use those hours to glorify, praise, and worship your name. Lord, we ask you this morning, evening, that you would just touch, Father, each unspoken request, dear God. Just let it be today, dear God, that your will be done there. And Lord, we just pray now, Father, help us in this hour. In Christ's holy name we ask. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. What's that? Oh, you need a blue book? Well, we'll use a red book. Sis, you already opened up. I didn't have nothing particular. There's probably in here. Anyways, let's see here. Chance of 371. Send the light. Red book. 371. Send the light. Red book.
There's the calls come ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, and the golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. Gospel. gospel light, let it shine forever.
Follow on. 600. And Zach, you be finding some. I said, didn't you be finding some?
Down in the valley with my Savior I will go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet water flows. Everywhere He leads me I will follow, follow on, walking in His footsteps till the crown is won. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, everywhere He leads me I will follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I will go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With this hand to lead me I will never, never fear. Danger cannot fight me if my Lord is near. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, everywhere He leads me I will follow. Or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior will my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that I should trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, everywhere He leads me I will follow on.
362. Zach is the assistant song leader who will be getting more time in assisting. The other day, I wasn't there, but Mariah told us that Zach had, he just wanted to know what God wanted him to do. He's got a position here that he doesn't get to do very often, not because he's not capable, but because I just seem to step up and do it all the time. I'm going to get out of the way some, so he can do that, and then he'll have a part in what God wants him to do.
page 362.
Just pull that microphone up tall enough to hear you.
All right.
Rescue the perishing.
too.
What's that?
I said, it has for me too. Turn to page 150. Specials tonight? Any specials?
we look to the world for all earthly gain. Just turn to God, He'll make it all right. Just ask for His blessings and stay in His sight. He'll walk down the path and hold to your hand. He'll stay by your side, for that is His plan. He'll love you and keep you through all eternity. He says, trust in me, and you will be free. The love of my Jesus now speaks to me. He tells me He loves me, cares for my needs. He gave up His life for you and me. He was hung on the cross so we would be free. Now sinners, please listen to what He has to say. He shows you He loves you every single day. Now open up your heart and let Him come in. Say yes to my Jesus, for He is your friend. I'm longing to go to that beautiful home. I'm longing to see Jesus there on His throne. It will be so sweet to see all the angels there when we go to that mansion in the air.
Any others?
I got one.
All right, brother.
And as much to gain the same. Anybody else?
You got one for us tonight?
I think he said feet. Is what you're saying.
I think what Tim and her Kate was singing this morning was a good song.
It's true tonight, this world will never mend in the awful shape it's in if folks would just turn their eyes to the Lord and trust in Him and do His will. If you got your Bibles tonight, you can open with me if you want to over into the book of Exodus, the 6th chapter. I'm going to go through several verses tonight talking about six words, and I want you to think about these six words and all the times that they're used. I don't know, and maybe Brother Mike Hoggard, when he gets to come down here, we was hoping he'd be coming down before long, but his wife is fixing to have another surgery. And so I don't know what the time frame of that recovery will be. So we're going to take time. Our last conversation that me and Ham had about that was he hoped to see us soon. And I said, I hope to have you soon. And then we heard the other day that she was going to have what they believe is going to be her last surgery. And you keep praying for her. She had been diagnosed last year with breast cancer. And they thought it was more than what it ended up being, but yet it was so, you could just see how God's hand was. It when they got there, it was so small, it should have never been seen, and yet it was seen, so they got it before it ever spread. And that's just God. I mean, there's no other way around that. Anyway, so she's been going through the surgeries and all the reconstructions and everything else that they've had to do. And then he said the other day that she's got one more, and this will be her last, he said, surgery. But one of the things that I love about Brother Mike and stuff, not just his wisdom, but the way that he loves to teach the Bible, and it excites him when he sees things. And so we were having a conversation this morning about something that I'd found in Scripture. And I'm going to share it with you tonight. But I want you to think about how significant God's Word is. And you can't make these things up. And I say all of that because I want you to think about the number of times something is found in Scripture. And when you start to think about numbers, you always have to think about what they represent. And so these six words, I am the Lord your God, are found 34 times in Scripture. And 34 is 2 times 17. 2 times 17. Let me get my math out here. 17 is the number of complete victory. 17 is the number of overcoming. And when you stop to think about this evening, I want you to think about this, that without God as our Savior, we cannot overcome. There's no victory. He is the end all of end alls when it comes to life. We'll either live with Him or we'll live separated from Him. And so I thought, boy, that pleases my heart. But then I found that these six words are found 33 in 33 verses. How old was our Lord when he was crucified? How significant is the number 33? 17 chapters. Again, you can't make this stuff up, and it's found in 7 books of the entire Old Testament. You say, Brother Ernie, why so significant about it being in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, God was constantly telling the children of Israel who he was and what he meant to them. And if they'd have just grasped that when Jesus had come in the New Testament, they'd have realized who had come down to them. And so when we think about only being found in the Old Testament, I said this to Brother Mike this morning. I said, I realize why it's only used in the Old Testament. And that's because the New Testament, we have Jesus. And Jesus was here to show us who God was and to show us who God had been trying to tell us who he was the whole time. So in the book of Exodus, the 6th chapter, it says this in the 7th verse, or the 6th verse. We'll start and we'll read down. It says, Wherefore saying to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. I will take you to be, or I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. I'm so thankful tonight that that statement to them is still true to you and I. See, because he is the one who brought us out of the bondage that we were in. Our sin bondage had us bound tighter than we could have ever imagined, was dragging us further away than we would ever want to go, and was leading us to a place we would never want to stay. And I can tell you this evening, church, people just do not understand the depths of hell, the depravities of it, and what it's going to actually be like. And furthermore, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of places today, a lot of things, people that call themselves churches and will never tell you that there is a living hell. One that's real. One that somebody is not imagining, but rather one that God created for those who would not follow him, who would reject him. And yet we find in the scripture, this is a prelude to the planned way of salvation. God said, I've heard you, I've seen you. Wherefore saying to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. He's God. He is almighty. He is all knowing. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptian. I will rid you out of their bondage. Now think about it tonight, church. He done this himself. Remember what I said this morning when I was talking about love, and I put my hands out, and I didn't intend to go where it did, but God knew exactly what he was doing in the time with me. And I was thinking about how much that God loved us from one side of Calvary to the other, from one side of the cross to the other. He was willing to take, and like I said this morning, give his very best, give his all to deliver us from sin. He was leading the children of Israel out of bondage, showing you and I that it could be done, that it would be done if we would put our faith and our trust in him. And then if you go on down to verse 10, it said, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Let me not turn 2 pages. Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his hand. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, and gave them charge unto them. I still think I got the wrong place. Oh, that's because I'm supposed to be in Exodus chapter 16. I thought I was jumping down a few verses. I'm supposed to jump over a few chapters. Either way, God's telling Pharaoh who's in charge here. Let me just say that, and I'll jump over here unto the 16th chapter and to the 12th verse. And 11th verse again, it said, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, at the evening ye shall eat flesh, in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. It came to pass at the evening, quail came up and covered the camp and the host in the morning. And in the morning, the dew lay around about the host. And I just tell you tonight, church, it's kind of one of these things here, and I've preached on this passage before about how they were not satisfied with what God was doing. But God is simply stating over and over again in these 34 times, we're going to find out that He's telling them what I'm doing should show you who I am and what I can do, and if you'll put your faith and your trust in me. Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves in any manner with creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. Leviticus 18:2, and I'll just run through these tonight because I don't want to mess anything up. He said, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. And in verse 4 he says, and ye shall do my judgments, keep my ordinance to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Do you realize tonight that all that God is trying to do for you and for me tonight is to put us in a place of understanding how that if we just acknowledge Him and follow Him, that we're going to be all right? How that He's in control of every situation. There's nothing out of the hands of God. How there's nothing too far for God to reach out and take care of. There's nothing too high that He can't get above it. Nothing too low that He can't get below it. Friend, I'm just telling you tonight, when you stop to think about it, if we put our faith and trust in God, we realize this, that He is the Lord, our God, and that if we understand who He is, we'll understand what He can do. The victory is God's, and I want to be on the victorious side. He said, speaking to the children of Israel, saying to them, again, I am the Lord your God. You shall do my judgments, friend. Let me tell you, it's not changed in any of the time that we should do the judgments of God, that we should walk in the paths of God, in the righteousness of God, in the holiness of God. There's no reason for us not to do these things as children of God. I believe tonight with all my heart that we fall short of many times of doing the things that we ought to do. I was thinking of this morning, again this evening, about what Brother Philip said and the tolerance that's going on with all the things that are happening in the gendered in the gay and lesbian world and everything else. And I thought, boy, we're so depraved we can't even realize how the significant meanings of these things, and how that if we're sitting back and we're thinking it's just going to be all right, how one of these days God's going to get tired of us thinking it's all right. He's going to call an end to it, and we'll stand before Him just like that. Do you understand tonight, church, what we're doing today in this time is that Brother Philip called kicking the can down the road. How about the reality is we're not just kicking the can down the road, we're ignoring the Word of God. It's like I said this morning, they didn't care, but God does. God does. God's always cared. Why can't we grasp that? He's telling the children of Israel, you were in bondage. I brought you out. I cared. You were under the things of Pharaoh. I brought you out because I cared. You were in the wilderness, but you were murmuring. So I gave you what you wanted. Why? Because I'm God and I care. He was telling the priests in Leviticus who he was and what they should be because he cared. We just don't understand. For whatever reason, we're not grasping the vital importance of these things. We're not seeing the reality and the purpose and the plan that God has. He went on to say in the 19th chapter, he said, ye shall fear every man his father and his mother and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Now think about the commandments that God had given them in the book of Exodus in chapter 20 and the things that he said there. And this thing about this tonight, church, if we was to honor our parents and if we were to keep his Sabbath, if we were to follow his statutes and understand we're doing it because of who he is, there's a blessing lying ahead of us. He said in verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 4, turn ye not into idols, nor make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Church, let me just say to us tonight, He's God.
You can go on through the Leviticus there in chapter 19. There's several more readings of how he done it. How about then let's jump down to chapter 20 in verse 7 in Leviticus. And he says, sanctify yourselves, therefore be holy, for I am the Lord your God. In verse 24, but I have said unto you, you shall inherit the land. I will give it to you to possess the land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. When God chooses you out, folks, let me tell you, it's not just in this verse here, but think about what he said over in the book of Corinthians, come ye out and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be your God, and you shall be my children or my sons. A friend, he's telling them here, he said, I will bring you out, I've chosen you, I'm leading you, I'm giving you a place you've not ever been to before. You didn't labor and wait on there. He's the Lord God, he separated us. So he said, come ye out and be ye separate, say the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. My friend, let me tell you, he was telling them in the Old Testament, he's telling them in the New Testament, and the only thing is in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is here on the earth. It's no longer the prophets prophesying, but it's God himself in the flesh telling us who he is and what he expects and what he wants done, and he's showing us how to get there, how to go there. He's just reminding us over and over again, it was never God's intention for you and I to live in this life miserable, washed up, but to live here victoriously, to live here joyously, to know who he was and what he meant and what he wanted for us. It's over and over again. I can read scripture after scripture after scripture where God is telling them. And in there, like I said, in these 34 verses, 34 times here, God told them, he said, I am the Lord your God. He's the victory that we're in need of. He's the salvation that we should follow after. He's the purpose of our lives if we put our faith and trust in him. In chapter 23 of Leviticus, verse 43 says that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Oh, friend, can we not testify about who God is and what God has done? I said it this morning. I'm going to say it again tonight because I believe it's true. I'm just surprised at how little we talk about God and how much we talk about everything else. I mean, just think about it. There's nothing wrong with having some things, and you know what? You ought to be proud of things. I can remember I was going through some pictures just yesterday, sitting there. Netta had found some old photos, and I was sitting there and looking at them. We was looking at David when he was just a little old thing there, and I thought, boy, how cute he was and how good he looked, you know, there. And now I look at him, he's just an angry old rat, and I get onto him all the time and tease him, and I call him a brat, and you know, he's about that high there. He doesn't sit on my lap anymore. He doesn't run up to me and give me hugs around the legs and stuff like that. A little Everly does now, and Jody, and I'm praying Kaylee will too. But anyways, I was teasing him there, and we was looking at that. But then I went on and I found another picture, and I said, hey, David, come here. I said, this is my first deer. I had a picture of a deer that I'd killed, my very first, sitting there. It's amazing how much we talk about other things and not God. I mean, think about it, church. We find old photos and we go down memory lane. But how far down memory lane do we go when we think about what God has done for us? I mean, you know, and I know you probably get tired of hearing me talk about things, but you know what? I was not here in the day when this church was filled to capacity. I wasn't here when the Ledbetter sisters would come down here, when they would be preaching revivals, and Brother Jack Ledbetter and different. I wasn't here. I was somewhere else. So I think about what was going on in our little church when revivals would last a week. And if God was moving 2 weeks, they didn't end because the night came. They end because God said, okay, it's time to go home and regain some rest. It's time to take what I've given you and go home and mold over it for a little while and come back a Sunday or come back Wednesday. Come back refreshed and serve me some more. It was one of those things there when I can remember these things. It was at another place, but I can remember, and I don't know about down here, but I do remember that God was the one in control of the services. I remember what God was doing and how the service didn't end because it was 12 o'clock. It ended because the altars were now emptied. People were standing up, hugging necks and rejoicing over what God had done. People would go out of the church and say, "Boy, wasn't that good? Man, God's good to us. God's wonderful. God's great. Can't wait to get back tonight, see what God has for us." See, God has little significance, it seems like, in our lives anymore, and yet He is the greatest thing there is. There's nothing like God. He said in Leviticus 25:38, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God." See, He done it all so we would be His children. I won't go through and read all the rest of them, but I like this in Judges. In chapter 6 and verse 10, He said, "And I said to you." Oh, do you get that for a second, church? You know, God said, "I am the Lord your God." God said, "I've done all these things so that you know that I am the Lord your God." In Judges chapter 6, He started off and He said, "And I said unto you." God declared Himself to us. "I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." Why are we in the shape we're in, Brother Don? We've not obeyed the voice of God. Amen. We're no longer searching the Spirit and seeing which one are God and which one are not. We just go ahead and ride along with whatever one comes in. If it comes in an angry spirit, we go with anger. If it comes in a mopey spirit, we go with mopey. If it comes in a dumb spirit like there ain't nothing, we go with dummy. It's one of those things. We don't search and find out, where's God? Where is God? And I've heard preachers talking about this, and it's true. If God don't show up in the service, what's the service for? What good are we doing if God's not present? What's taking place in our homes if God is not there? What's taking place in our hearts if God is not there? What's taking place in our church if God is not there? See, when I come to the house of God, I hope that you come with the same expectations that I come with. And that's for us to find that when we got to the house of God, that God was there with us. Why? Because we brought Him there. When we got there, our spirits communed one with another, and our spirits communed with God. And God was able to do what He wanted to do. God was able to speak the way He wanted to speak. God was able to teach us. God was able to instruct us. God was able to strengthen us. God was able to rejoice with us and rejoice us. I want to tell you the truth. I want to come to the house of God and just worship Him in truth and in spirit. I want to go through the house of God, and when it's all the service with God, and when it's all said and done, to be able to look back and say, "Boy, God's so good. God's so good." Now, I'll be truthful with you tonight, church. I think we ought to invest more in our services. More in preparation and more in participation in our services. And if we'll do that, God will be blessed and God will be pleased and God will work. There's no doubt in my mind, God will work. I think we're riding the bus of this is all there is when it's not. Do you understand that if this is all there is, then we might as well quit now? I thought about it this way, and I thought about it to myself, and I thought, you know, we've set standards on what is worth service to God, or what is worth participation with God. And if we don't meet those standards, then we have to try to alter what we're doing. This ain't working, so we're going to do this. And this ain't working, so we're going to do that. And I call them programs, you can call them steps. But the truth of the matter is this. We're trying to figure out how to make something out of nothing. And only God is able to do that. So what we have to do is do our best in service and preparation and participation. So that when we get there with God in our lives, God is able to work and move and set the standard. It's not who's there, how many's there, but why. We're there because he's God. Somebody says, why should I go to church? You ought to look them straight in the eye and say, that's the dumbest question I've heard today. Why shouldn't you go to church? What has God done for you? I mean, just think about it. I was thinking and well, if you don't care, I don't care. We'll do this. We watched a movie this afternoon. Just come to my mind about what was said in that movie. And I don't know that I can find it right off the top of my head. But let's look at this. Why should I not come to church? I'm in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. I'm going to go through and read some things. Why should I come to church? Well, let's just start off first off that Jesus Christ is faithful. And everything he did for me. You say, Brother Ernie, what are you talking about? Just hang on with me. Jesus, in verse 3, he blessed us with all spiritual blessings. In verse 4, he has chosen us. In verse 5, he has predestined us. And if you stop to think about it, in verse 6, he has accepted us. In verse 7, he has redeemed us. He has forgiven us. He has given us grace and riches. He has abounded towards us. He has made known unto us. Friend, let me just say, now tonight, when you start to think about things, why should I go to church? Why should I trust in God? Why should I believe? Because he's done everything. And why shouldn't I do what I can, which is to worship him, to honor him, to glorify him? I'm just getting it. A little at a time. See, it wasn't about all these 34 verses God was trying to get us to look at tonight. He was trying to get us to understand the reason why we come is because he is the Lord our God. That's what he said. I am the Lord your God. Next time you ask somebody to come to church and they say they don't feel like it, ask them how Jesus felt when he started carrying the cross. I'm too tired. How did Jesus feel as he got closer to the hill and to the top? I've got too much to do. Wow. Yet Jesus and God's in control of the whole universe and takes time every day for you and I. Isn't it amazing we find every reason we can under the sun not to go to church, not to worship, not to serve, not to glorify, not to honor? And yet when we're asked, we can't think of one good reason why we should. We've not invested enough in God with all that he's invested in us. Should be real simple. Somebody says, why should I go to church? You should have a litany of answers. I mean a multitude. Well, let's see. God allowed you to wake up this morning. You ought to go praise him for that. He allowed you to even speak those dumb words. Why should I? You got the ability to talk. You ought to go praise him for that. You ought to praise him for your sight and for your hearing. You ought to praise him for your loved ones. You ought to praise him because he's God. I can't tell you, church, why people won't come outside of the fact that God's just not as important to them as whatever else is. And I say that carefully, knowing that some can't. And I think God understands those in my heart. The real question is why won't we? Why won't we? I think the answer to that is, again, what I said this morning. Because our hearts where our treasure is, and our treasure is where our heart is. And they're just not where they ought to be. God's afar off, and He shouldn't be. Would you stand with us tonight? Father in heaven, this evening, Lord, we thank You so very much for all that You've given us, all that You've done for us. God, it's impossible to thank You for everything. And I believe tonight, Father, by saying thank You for everything, God, is so simple and so easy. It just rolls out so carelessly sometimes. God, we just don't have the ability. But God, I believe You know our hearts. God, we ought to thank You for everything. Praise You for everything. Dear God, I pray tonight, Father, work a work in our lives that will make us more pleasing unto You, more desirous of You. Father, tonight I pray for those who are here. I ask You, God, Father, just touch, bless them, guide them, help them, Lord Jesus. For those who are not here, and You know the reasons why, dear God, to deal according to that purpose in Your life, their lives with them. And Father, I pray tonight, save the lost, restore the backslidden, and give the faithful strength. We ask You, Lord, Father, these things in Christ's name. And amen. And amen. Anything on anybody's